Chapter 7.
No smiles, no joy?
Sasha said.
You men should be happy. You saved another town.
Renoir and Pilpin each snorted a grunt. Shamanhoven remained expressionless, and Bezog's face was creased in concentration.
I'm happy,
Ben said, tossing some firewood into the smoking pit.
Who wouldn't be, after surviving a battle with a monstrous dragon? Woo! I'm relieved.
He stirred the fire with a stick and rubbed his beard.
Don't pay any mind to those sour faces over there, especially the bearded ones. I'd be happy too, Mother,
Rary said, stepping out of the woodland and dropping a stack of sticks on the ground.
If I'd gotten a few licks on that bold dragon.
He drew his sword. Lightning quick strokes cut the air. He slammed the blade back inside his scabbard.
But again, I missed it, thanks to Samas. I can't always be his keeper, you know.
Bezog spoke up.
You did well, son. It was your duty.
Does it always have to be my duty? After all, he's older. He should be watching over me and not me over him. I sicken of it, Father. I want to fight, not sit watching glum face all the time.
Bezog lifted his eyes to the sky, shaking his head. The stars and the moon twinkled behind the drifting clouds, but that wasn't all. Winged silhouettes drifted through the sky, sending a chill through him. He noticed Shamanhoven glancing upward as well.
Sasha, how about you conceal these flames?
Warming her hands, she was just about to sit down beside him when she paused and kissed him on the head.
I'd love to.
She scratched up a handful of dirt from the ground, rubbed it in her hands, and began muttering a quick incantation. Tossing the dirt into the air where it sparkled bright with energy, she said,
Huzzah!
A dimness formed over them, stretching from tree limb to tree limb.
Well done,
Bezog said. He took her by the hand and kissed her.
I couldn't do better myself. I know.
She giggled as she took her place beside him. She clasped her warm hands around his.
Some things just take a woman's touch.
Like your cooking,
Ben piped in.
Please don't let Renoir and Pilpin make supper again. It tasted like baked bark.
Pilpin tossed a metal pot in the fire and chomped his teeth.
You cook then. We don't need as much food as you anyway, do we, Renoir?
Renoir groaned in agreement. Rary plucked the pot out of the fire and tossed it back and forth until the metal cooled, saying,
I'll make it. Something with some elven zeal will lift these dour spirits.
He patted his belly.
And I'm too hungry to wait for all this bickering to end.
He walked away with a sigh. Bezog could feel something he didn't like. Pressure. There was fatigue in everyone's movements. Heavy concern in their faces. None more so than Brenwar's. Losing his charge, Nath Dragon had unsettled the ever-stout dwarf. He'd been edgy ever since Nath took things into his own hands. It left everyone uncertain.
How much farther, Shum?
Bezog said. The ranger was sharpening his elven blade with a rune-faced whetstone, while Hoven hummed a gentle tune.
A few more days, you'll see. The land starts to decay, darken. Leaves fall from the trees out of season. I assume there'll be more encounters on our way. Let's hope we can avoid most of them.
Now that hull dragon was unavoidable. That much is certain,
Ben said.
It was his own city. Do you think there will be more hulls? I'm running low on exploding arrows.
Then take better aim with them,
Renoir growled.
Unless Bezog can conjure up more.
Bezog shook his head.
Oh,
Ben continued.
Maybe I need some practice. Why don't you put an apple on your head and let me shoot it?
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
Other than being ashamed to waste a good piece of fruit, why, yes, I think I would.
Ben chuckled. Brenoir folded his arms over his chest and said,
"Ha! All you do is waste arrows and your breath."
Pilpin barked a laugh. Bezog tuned them out. They'd gone on like this for hours, but it wasn't the worst thing. It kept an edge about them, and they needed that. It had taken Sasha some time, but she'd gotten used to it. He squeezed her hand. She looked over and smiled at him. Regardless of the darkness, doubt, and despair that surrounded them, she seemed happy.
"I'd better go check on Samas," he said. "It's been a while. Would you like to come along?"
She stroked his long black hair, rubbed his back, and said,
"No, I'll help Rary prepare your supper. He's a horrible cook, but he tries. You go. Take all the time you need with our quieter son."
"Save me some stew."
He patted her knee and departed. Samas sat cross-legged on the end of the rocky crag. The stiff breeze bristled his short black hair and played with his robes, which were snug around his body. He didn't turn as Bezog approached. Instead, his chin was tilted up, and his eyes were glassy and dreamy.
"Of all the things I've dealt with, this always seems the most strange."
Samas had always been like this. He'd sit up in his bed late at night, eyes open, staring at nothing, yet everything.
"I'd love to see what's in that mind of his."
Quietly, Bezog eased down into a sitting position. It was best not to disturb Samas from his slumbers. He'd broken Rary's wrist for it once. It was no wonder the brothers bickered so much and Rary resented him. Bezog crossed his legs the same as Samas, closed his eyes, and relaxed. They used to do this all the time, have long whiles of peace and quiet. It soothed him, and he was certain it brought comfort to Samas as well. His thick-set son, though aloof and distant, no doubt knew he was there. Samas had amazing intuition. Rary could never sneak up on him, not beat Samas at hide-and-seek either. The crickets chirped and the distant pixies played. Bezog could feel his elven roots stretching out and acclimating to the sound of the woods. The rustling of the branches, hooves that scurried through the night. He'd gotten more in tune with his elven roots over the past 25 years, and it had been good. He started to breathe easy. His taut shoulders relaxed. He became one with his son, one with nature. Moments went by.
"Father?"
Samas said softly. Bezog opened his eyes, turned and faced his son. Sama's features were covered in sweat, and his dark eyes were wide. Placing his hand on his son's chest, he felt the young part elf's heart pounding. Unable to hide his worry, he asked,
"What is it, son?"
A silvery tear dropped down Sama's cheek. His body trembled.
"I saw a dragon die."
He pointed toward the sky. Bezog followed his finger. A large black object dotted the sky, blotting out a small part of the rising moon. It sent a shiver through Bezog. He stood up and his slender jawline dropped. It was too big to be a dragon, yet it moved too slowly to be anything else. And something propelled it forward, dragging it over the mountain treetops.
"What is that, Samas?"
He shook his son by the shoulders.
"Have you any idea?"
Teary-eyed, Samas spoke again, his voice more haunting this time.
"I saw a dragon die."
He looked at Bezog.
"I saw Nath dragon die."